In the gospel reading today, our Lord makes this distinction between those being born of the flesh and those being born of the Spirit. The wonderful thing is that we have been reborn in baptism. We have the Spirit of God. The question is, do we live it? Because we live in a society that is very much pagan. We live in a society that is very much given over to the flesh. We live in a society that, as we heard in, well, both the first reading as well as in the responsorial psalm, is against the Lord. And the kings of the earth truly at this point have conspired against the Lord and his anointed. And you can see that so very clearly. And so the question then that all of us would have to look at is, what's our response? We hear about what happened with the early Christians. Peter and John come back and tell them what had happened to them. And you notice how the people pray. They talk about how, number one, all of these things that happened to the Lord, this was the will of God that was planned from long ago. And then they say, now, take note of their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with all boldness. Notice that they didn't say, oh Lord, save us from being persecuted. Oh, don't let anybody get hurt. No, they didn't pray for that. They prayed for the grace to be bold, to live their faith in the face of persecution. This is where we're at today. Number one, we're watching people fall away from the church and from our Lord in droves. We're watching as paganism is rising up once again. And even worse, we're watching as the occult is taking over. As I've told you before, we live in the largest center of the occult in the nation. Therefore, we need to be bold. We could wimp out. We could say, oh, let me just try to live this quietly so nobody knows, or let me become like these others and I'll just not come to church anymore because I don't want to be persecuted. No. We need to be bold. We need to have courage. We need to stand for the Lord. That's the choice that all of us have to make. I remember there was a woman that I knew who had some friends in Nigeria. Nigeria right now is the number one place in the world where Catholics are being put to death. And this lady had called her friend in Nigeria, heard about the persecutions that were going on there. And this lady said, if they think that killing us is going to keep us from going to church, they've got another thing coming. This is only emboldening us even more. Ask yourself what your response would be to something like that. If there were threats, would you be there? Or if there was a threat, would you say, oh, no, I better just stay home. It wouldn't be a good thing for me to go to church. Somebody might shoot me or they might blow the place up. So therefore, instead of going to worship the Lord, I'll just stay home. On the natural level, it sounds like a much more prudent thing to do. That's not what Christian people have done throughout the ages. In fact, as we know, the church thrives under persecution. And we know that the blood of martyrs is the seedbed of faith. So rather than running away, Christian people have done exactly what we heard these people pray for, that they would be bold in proclaiming the word of God. We have to live it. You don't necessarily have to be out on the street preaching, but every one of us has to be out on the street living it. and we preach by the way that we live, because our actions, as we know, speak far louder than our words. So that's something for all of us as this continues to play itself out and the persecutions are growing. We in America haven't really had to suffer much for our faith. In fact, in the last little bit, we haven't had to suffer at all for our faith. That is in part why it is the disaster that it is, because it's become too easy, because it's become nonchalant, because we haven't taken it seriously, because we feel like we don't have to, because it's no big deal to be a Catholic anymore. Well, it's thankfully becoming a big deal to be a Catholic again, because the princes conspire against the Lord and his anointed. The kings of the earth have gathered against the church. Praise God, because that gives us an opportunity to really look at the question of what's most important to me. Is fitting in with the world more important than being faithful to God? Is protecting my own skin more important than my witness to the Lord? Those are the kinds of questions that we can ask. Again, we don't have to be stupid. We don't have to be obnoxious. All we need to do is live our faith. You'll still stand out like a sore thumb if you do that. Because if we're living among a bunch of pagans, trying to live a Christian life is not going to be popular. It's something that everybody will be able to recognize. And it's something that actually they will admire. But they will try to destroy it. Because just as it was with our Lord, and as we read in the Book of Wisdom, that they would look at him and say, he is obnoxious to us. Let us persecute the righteous one because he's obnoxious to us. If they don't want to change and you're trying to live a holy life, they're going to try and shut you down because they don't like the light. They want the darkness. They don't want the light that's radiating from you. So just live it. But embrace it and do exactly what we heard in the first reading. Be bold. Don't try and hide it, because the Lord said, nobody lights a lamp and puts it under a bushel basket. Put it on a stamp or on a stand where it can be seen. You're the light. He himself has lit it already. And he wants you to be burning brightly. Because in a world of darkness, like the one in which we live, that light needs to shine brightly so that those who have no hope will be able to see your hope. And they too then will be able to have that same hope. Not in you, certainly not in the world, absolutely not in the government, in Jesus Christ, our only hope.